Hello and welcome to everybody in this meeting. Good morning, TG, TDDs, chief directors, directors. There's no assistant directors, there's no, how do they call, what's the other level? Deputy directors, or the high ranking top staff, report from DR, and honorable members. Good morning. I hope you had a wonderful Easter, and I think we saw each other before. Oh, some of us we saw at the head of mission conference, and some of us we have seen before Easter. I hope you had a wonderful Easter, wonderful break, and we had a good provincial week last week. Welcome back. I see you are looking refreshed. Some of you is on the verge of winning by-elections against your coalition partners, and some by-elections have been won by the AFC, and COPE, I think, has won a by-election. Is it going to win a by-election? members and TG and the staff of the department, welcome to this meeting. I know we know each other, but I'm not sure whether we all know each other so well. I've seen that you've got a couple of new faces, TG, with you, and we would like to know them. So we're going to start with the morning with our introductions. My name is Freddy Adams. I am a representative of the Western Cape. Let me start from my right.
Good morning, everybody. I can also send it from the Eastern Cape. And that first place that I thought was because of the very sour granadilla that I ate. It's got nothing else to do with anything else.
Good morning, Kenneth Sinclair, Northern Cape.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Bev Abrahams from Gauteng.
Dusan Kamete, Wazulu Natal.
Master Bodihale, Limpopo Province.
Bafana Ngweni, Free State.
I've been Kale Shaojia.
Mando PMG.
Joseph Tete from the DMR.
Today, Ramon is the Director General of the Department of Mineral Resources.
Good morning. I'm David Nasiza, the Chief Inspector of the Department of Mineral Resources.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. It's Osama Busa, DDG Mineral Policy and Promotion at DMR.
Good morning, Bumi Garden from DMR.
Good morning, Catherine Nisu, the Acting CFO from DMR.
Good morning, Ajisuli Khete, Chief Director HR, and representing the DDG Corporate Services DMR.
Good morning, Chairperson and honored members. My name is Joel Rapiel. I'm the DDG responsible for mineral regulation DMR.
Good morning, my name is Bosana, I'm the CEO from the NASA.
Members that have joined us. Specifically the man from the ambassador designate to Swaziland.
Morning, Jomo Nyambe from Mpumalanga.
Well, thank you very much. Colleagues, we are going to carry on with the meeting if the minister comes. We'll give her some time to greet us and to chat to us. DG, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member. It is indeed an honor for us to present to you our annual performance plan, which is basically in line with our strategic plan. Our presentation today will be divided according to our branches. we start with the financial administration and also look at corporate services, and then go to mine health and safety. We then have mineral regulation, and lastly we then present mineral policy and promotion. I will start with the section on the financial administration. The presentation then will be in two parts, from the first part, from number 1, 2, 3, and 4, it will be basically giving you an overview of the financials of the organization, how we have budgeted, and then from there we'll move into specific which will be presented by the CFO. The total budget of the department is 1.4 billion rand for the financial year 2013-2014. This basically, if you look at the financial, is 10.8% from 2009-2010 to 2013. That's the average growth. And the projected growth for the coming 3 years is 11.7%. The funding is shared between the departmental programs and entities under its control. These are basically associated institutions like the Council for Justice, NITEC. And it is split as the ratio is 54.9% and 45.1% for the entity. The level of understanding in the previous financial year, which we have been being audited for, is quite low, is at the 0.5%, which is far below the 5%. 5%, which is basically the threshold for understanding. Look at the DMR cost plan per program. Here we have divided it into the main program, mine health and safety program, mineral regulation, mineral promotion, and policy. The projection that is basically the last recording, they show that the mineral promotion and the mineral policy and promotion is basically taking the chunk of the financial budget, because most of that money is transferred to entities. When you look at this, they were for 735 million, which is basically almost close to 8% of it will be transferred to entities. The overall expenditure is expected to increase from 1.4 billion in 2013-2014 financial year to 1.6 billion in 2015-16, an average rate of 11.77 per annum. This is basically attributed to the additional funding received over the NTA in respect of 1.2 million for improved conditions of business for departments and public entities, economic support and competitiveness package for the Council of Society and the Council of Mineral Technology, which is mentioned, this amounts to about 18 million rand. The expenditure estimate analysis, we are looking at 81 million rand, what then has been assigned to Lenta, which is for waste collection and spent for waste project. And about 60 million rand for rehabilitation of relics and polymer mines. 59 million rand for the implementation of the National Environmental Management Act and upgrading of the South African Mineral Resource Administration System. This is the system which will be to license the rights of all in terms of prospecting and mining. When you look at expenditure estimate analysis per program, for administration, the expenditure is expected to increase from 257.3 million in 2012-2013 financial year to 289.9 million in 2015-2016, at an average rate of 4.1 over the initial period. The increase is largely attributable, basically attributed to inflationary adjustments. The gas mine health and the increases there are also attributed to inflation adjustment. For mineral regulation, over this 8-year expenditure, the increase will be from 187.8 million to 249.1 million in 2015-2016. at an average rate of 9.9. This increase relates to money to be used to implement NEMA in the department and also the upgrading of the system licensing. In terms of general policy and promotion, the expenditure is expected to increase from 589 million in 2012-13 to 900.5 million in 2015-16, with an average increase of 15.8%. The increase is attributed to the new allocation for rehabilitation of credit and vulnerable lines and the economic support and competitiveness package for the two entities, namely the Council for Society and the Council for General Exchange. If you look at the slide here, we look at GMR resource plan in terms of economic activity. We have got the first column there with the current payments, current payments and financial assets, transfer and subsidies for education assets. The figures basically show the projections in the last three columns. But the total thing was critical there is the bottom row there showing that the increase is there from 1.3 to 1.6 in 2015. The DMR resource plan for economic classification, if you look at the compensation of employees, it has increased in line with inflationary adjustments. And the increase in goods and services budget for 2014 attributed to no funding for the rehabilitation of homeless and credit lines, and also NEMA implementation and the Sambat approach. The transfer and subsidies budget has increased by 20% owing to new funds obtained for waste scrap processing. This is a project which has been initiated by INTEC, and also the sensor-based sorting project of NETA, which is the technology which they use to sort of, and economic support and competitiveness package for the market. I will then hand over to the acting CFO to take over.
Okay. Good morning, honorable members. Thank you, DC. Our focus for the current financial year on our business, and the first one is the stakeholder perspective. As a stakeholder perspective, the initiative that we've been working on is to measure ourselves against the number of reports that we have within prescription around trans, and this is the National Treasury reporting calendar. We're also going to measure ourselves on the improvement of service delivery, which is basically measuring ourselves on how we're doing in relation to our service catalog, and also to conduct an annual survey from our clients to say how has the service been for the financial period. We're also going to embark on educating and empower stakeholders. And on that measure, basically, we'll be conducting workshops to ensure that our internal clients are aware of the policies and procedures to follow. And the objective there is to reduce non-compliance and also to reduce complaints. While we're still on the stakeholder perspective, we are aiming at reducing ensuring that the ICT, the information technology systems, are available to ensure that the business can perform. So we're planning to reduce the number of calls and ensuring that the system is available 99% of the time. We also now promote the transformation policy, where we ensure that invoices to our supplier are paid within 30 days. On internal processes, we'll be reviewing policies and ensuring that they're approved. And this also talks to the previous measure, where we want to reduce non-compliant and irregular expenditure. So we'll be working on reviewing policies and implementing them. Another time, we're going to, as per our service catalog, we already have a set turnaround time for every service we provide. So we're aiming to improve on those service turnaround time to better them in the service we provide to our clients. And then on the alignment of ICT to business objectives, we have a system master plan, which is our ICT strategy to implement and improve on the system availability and effectiveness. So we'll be measured there on amount, the number of initiatives that are implemented in the financial year over a 3-year period. Learning and growth, we'll be facilitating management courses just to make sure that people are on par to perform as to their expected job description. The vacancy rate, we're working hard to ensure that we fill vacancies within the prescribed turnaround time. So that, and also to reduce the vacancies by ensuring that we look at our exit interviews and implement recommendations we provided. Attract and develop and retain. We're also looking at targeting recruitment to the identified EE categories, and also the to retain, look at also the exit interviews to see how we retain people and have their exit. Under the financial perspective, we're going to ensure that we have tighter asset management policy, which we already have. So we're going to review that to ensure that we reduce the number of assets disposed prior to the end of last year, and this is mainly to certain losses. Aligning the budget to strategy, over there we actually enforce to ensure that if our objectives are aligned to our budget is aligned to our budget, our objectives are aligned to the budget, it reduces the number of shifting that we have to do within the year unless we have those that are uncontrollable. Governance, we are working towards a clean audit and ensuring that all internal and external audit findings are actually corrected and adhered to, and recommendations are implemented before the end of the financial year, and ensuring that we stay compliant and also come up with a clean audit. That also includes our risk management plan, where we measure the organizational risk and also the operational risk. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. With your permission, okay, we will then move on to the second part of the administration, which is focusing on corporate services issues around human resources.
Good morning, honorable members. Thank you so much, teacher. I'll start by the principle and structure of the presentation. It will be actually it will just be the principles and structure, and then the branch key perform a focus areas. Around stakeholder perspective, internal processes, DMR, learning and growth. And then to be the conclusion. The purpose of the branch operating services is to provide strategic support and management services to the department as well as the ministry. Corporate services has the following components, which are Chief Directorate level, human resource management, legal services, auxiliary support, communication, as well as special projects and programs. Under the stakeholder perspective, the first objective of the corporate services is that one of contributing to skills development. The measures there, the first one is career awareness initiatives, which is mainly the facilitation of mining career guidance at basic education level and in communities. And then acquisition of bursaries for learners from poor backgrounds is actually the soliciting of bursaries for these learners. Then the implementation of a graduate placement program in mining sector internships. Here is actually the learnerships and mining internships that we facilitate as the department. The second objective and the stakeholder perspective is the sustainable development of vulnerable groups. Here, we're going to be measured on the facilitation project for women, youth and the disabled. It's actually the identification and facilitation of implementation of this project. Then the next objective is that one of communication, communicate DMR policies and programs. Here the measures that will be made upon will be the implementation of communication strategy, mainly the hosting of events, media briefings, related blind function as well as support to blind function. We also facilitate media and stakeholder engagement, again in line with what blind function will be doing, and also facilitation of public participation programs. The next objective is one of facilitating transformation initiatives. Here, mainly the facilitation of projects for women in mining. Then under internal processes, is the development, review and implementation of policies or corporate services policies. Then we also have timers, response, opinions, appeals and litigations by our legal support, and also conducting of access inquiries also by our legal support. Then implementation of national vetting strategy. Here, in line with the national vetting strategy, is actually the screening of all new employees as well as contractors to the department. Then the compliance with HR legislation, mainly those that the financial declarations and performance agreements. Under learning and growth, the objective is to facilitate management and leadership development. This will be through the implementation of management development programs such as EDP, AMGP, and other leadership development programs. Filling of funded and vacant positions. We'll fill funded vacancies within the period of 4 months after becoming vacant. This will actually assist the entire department, even branches, to actually comply to the 4 months. And the last objective under learning and growth is the kind of attraction, development and retention skills. Here we also will also be measured on the percentage improvement in our employment equity as a department, and then the reduction in staff turnover. Then also the human resource development initiatives, the training programs in line with the workplace skills plan of the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I think we take all the presentations, the members after them. After all the presentations, then they will ask us.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Once more, we will then give a presentation on mine health and safety as the chief inspector of the mine.
Thank you, TG. Good morning, honorable members. Our strategic objective as a reference is to promote health and safety within the mining sector and to contribute skills development to ensure that there's adequate skills provided for the sector and improve on health and safety also. Thirdly, to ensure compliance with service level agreements, mainly which are only improving the capacity of the inspectorate. And fourthly, to develop and review internal process. This is to ensure that there is a consistent and transparent approach adopted by our inspector, and lastly, to improve the turnaround times on our administrative tasks. And we can read in conjunction with page 34 to 35 of the APP. In terms of the first strategic objective, would be measured through the percentage reduction in occupational fatalities, injuries and labor concurrency. We plan to achieve 20% improvement per annum, and also the percentage reduction over exposure to silica occupational occupational exposure limit, the OEL. The measure there is to reduce by 10% every year. And thirdly, the percentage reduction in our overexposure to noise induced. To noise occupational exposure limit, the target is 10% as well. Also, last on the side, the percentage investigation and inquiries to be completed and the agreement is 8% per annum. Furthermore, supporting the strategic objective, we'll do 8,000 inspections, mainly to monitor the effectiveness of the health and safety measures and also do 396 group audits to also monitor the effectiveness of the management systems. And lastly, we'll check the adherence to the enforcement guideline to ensure that we have a consistent and transparent approach by all inspectors. In terms of the development, we'll review and implement a certificate of competence model to improve the pass rate, and also we'll engage with the mining qualification authority, the MQA, and our stakeholders to ensure proper and accurate accreditation of service providers. In terms of the SLAs, we'll ensure 100% adherence to the SLAs. Mainly, as I said, it is mainly on the capacity building for inspectors. And to support the strategic objective on development of the internal processes, the measure of the percentage of identified internal processes developed, implemented, and reviewed. Lastly, on the slide, on improved turnaround times, measure the percentage at the prescribed template, where we are targeting 80%. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. We'll then get a presentation from Mineral Regulation, which will be presented by the DDG, Ms. Napier.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Our presentation starts as follows. I will start by outlining our strategic objectives as a branch. And the first one is around promotion of job creation. And the other strategic objective is the promotion of sustainable resource use and management. The third one is on the reduction of state environmental liability and financial risk. The fourth one is on the implementation of transformation policies and law legislation. The other one is on monitoring and enforcement of compliance, as well as the improvement on the turnaround times relating to various processes that we are responsible for as a program. I also need to give an assurance to honorable members that issues that are raised with the department from the oversight visit of the committee are being and have been incorporated into our operational plan, and they are likely to matters that are raised by the community. With regard to around the equitable and sustainable benefit from mineral resources as a brand, how we contribute on promotion of job creation relating to the number of new jobs from new mining rights. What we then do is we do adjudication of applications for new mining rights, focusing amongst others on areas of social labor plan as well as environmental management programs, which receive our major priority. We also plan to increase compliance inspections on implementation of the mining works program, the EMPs, as well as social and labor plans. The other initiatives around the implementation of SMME development projects towards sustainable development. This we will do among others through increasing compliance inspections because there are benefits associated with improved and increased enforcement. The other one is around the implementation of local economic development projects towards sustainable development, and this will also be through increased compliance inspections again. Next, okay. And with regard to promotion of sustainable resource use and management, here focus is going to be on
we will just allow the minister to catch her breath. You know, we are in a building where the lifts normally stuck, and we were worried. Honorable Van Lingen was worried that you got stuck in the lift, Minister. But I think, Minister, if you will allow Mr. Joel to finish, and then you can share a few words of wisdom with us. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. What around promotion of sustainable resource use and management, we're going to be focusing on the percentage of evaluated waste programs relative to rights issued, considering the three elements of sustainable development, which is economic, environmental, as well as social. And in this regard, we'll be adjudicating waste programs to ensure that the business case contained in the application for mining rights is economically viable, because you don't want less than unsustainable operations. Then the second area is focusing on percentage of our social and labor plans relative to rights issued, once again considering the elements of sustainable development. And in the adjudication of social and labor plans, the one area is to assess the extent of alignment of SLPs with IDPs of municipalities, and as well as consultations with the relevant municipalities and the intended beneficiaries, just to ensure that the social and labor plans are going to have a desired impact. Around the percentage of approved environmental management programs and plans relative to rights issued concerning the elements of sustainable development, here the focus could be on the adjudication of the EMPs to ensure that they are not going to negatively impact on the environment, and that mitigation measures are adequate or sufficient to address the identified risks. With regard to the reduction of the environmental liability and financial risk, the focus is going to be on the percentage of rights and payments with the adequate financial provision for rehabilitation, because it is very important throughout to ensure that the state is not exposed to environmental liability emanating from mining, especially when you have inadequate financial provision. And as part of our plan, we are going to be identifying rights and opportunities with inadequate financial provision for rehabilitation, and conduct the relevant inspections, continuously review the EMPs in respect of financial provision and the performance assessment reports, and issue territorial notices or directives in instances where non-compliance is identified, with a view of ensuring that the state is not exposed. The other area would be the percentage of mines that would be issued with closure certificate without the residual state liability. And here, focus is going to be on assessing closure applications in line with Section 43, which is prescriptive in terms of the process of study. Around the objective of transform mineral sector, what we'll be doing is the implementation of transformation policies and legislation. Focus is going to be on the number of rights and permits that are issued to historically disadvantaged controlled entities. And this will be done amongst others through continuous workshops that we'll be conducting as a branch. The other initiative will be around the number of consultations and engagements and the conflict management of the communities and the mining industry, because the honorable members recall also from a number of oversight visits that the honorable members conducted, there are those cases that are identified and highlighted and brought to our attention for intervention. Here we are planning to participate in an extensive number of consultation engagement committees with the view of ensuring that we can resolve and attend the root causes of this issue. The other would be around the number of workshops that we are planning with industry. And we plan to facilitate 9 industry workshops. These workshops become very important for the purpose of keeping touch with our stakeholders, as well as clarifying some of our processes and addressing concerns that they may raise from time to time with us. And the other one around the number of ADA entrants supplying the mining, because the areas of procurement are very, very, very important, and we will be conducting a number of audits and workshops and
summit and so on, participating also in others that are organized by industry, because this is identified as one of the areas with the potential to grow the participation by a new entrant in the mining space. Around the internal processes, we are seeking to contribute towards monitoring and enforcement of compliance. And with regards to this, the program seeks to achieve 100% compliance with regulatory processes. The target that we have set is for 440 mining charge and legal compliance inspections, covering the areas of SLP, B, and minerals around them, B, E, and so on. And then with regard to the EMP, we are targeting to conduct 1,700 EMP inspections to ensure that there is compliance with the approved EMPs. And there's also a target of 500 works program focusing on the mining aspect in the inspection as part of ensuring that we can move and deepen monitoring and enforcement of compliance. The other objectives around improvement of turnaround times and emphasis on adherence to prescribed time frames related to the various categories of applications from granting, issuing, registration and recordal of mining rights. And the last one is around ensuring that we contribute to 100% collection of prospecting fees, because this is the revenue that is due to the fiscal. So, Honorable Mas, that is actually the presentation of mineral regulation. Thank you.
Sorry, I think the Minister DG, if you could, yeah. Can we, I see there's just one more left. DG Matt? One more. It's monopoly of promotion. So, Minister, if we can take that one and then give you in the floor after that. Is that fine with you, Minister? Okay, thanks. DG?
Thank you, Honorable Members, Minister. We'll get the presentation from General Police and Promotion to be presented by the TDG, Mr. Mabuza.
Thank you, Honorable Members, Minister. we're going to cover the APP and our first slide project, our strategic objectives within the branch that are aligned to the mandate of the department. These include our dedication towards promotion of investment that underpins the growth of the mining sector and create an enabling environment for us to be competitive globally, to promote sustainable resource use and management in keeping with the objectives of the MPRDA, to facilitate transformation and linked to the above 2 points and sustainable development of the mining sector in the Republic. And the last 2 points are internally focused in terms of the processes that support that guide our work towards attainment of these objectives, as well as the focus on the deliverability principles in respect of turnaround times. Right. In dealing with on the stakeholder perspective, we look at the activities that relate to promotion of investment in the sector. These include the targeted promotional publications. We are targeting 11 during this financial year. We believe that we cannot achieve this alone unless we have technical and strategic partnerships that support us and enable us to work towards attainment of our objectives. In the SMME development, we seek to support 67 throughout the country. We intend to convene 8 workshops in support of small-scale mining during the financial year. We will be engaging with our stakeholders, and these are formal structures such as mining summits and so on. And in respect of the beneficiation strategy, we will be completing our integrated implementation plan framework during the course of this year. On the promotion of sustainable resource management, we focused on the development of a framework for mine environmental management. It's a broad framework. It includes the review of the financial provisions and guidelines, as well as other tools that underpin the principle of sustainable mining. And in respect of rehabilitation of derelict and ownerless mines, this program will be expedited this year. You will have seen honorable members in the presentation of the DG that we have received a little bit of additional funding, and we'll be collaborating with other stakeholders in order to expedite the implementation of this program. On acid mine drainage management, you would know, honorable members, that there is an IMC that is established in dealing with the acid mine drainage. Our minister, together with ministers of water affairs as well as science and technology, are in the IMC, and we will be contributing technical work towards the work of the acid mine drainage IMC. We'll continue our research on broader mine water management, and we'll also continue to implement the solutions that we know, such as construction of canals that divert the water from going underground as well as sealing of abandoned shafts where possible. On the facilitation of transformation and sustainable development, they go hand in glove. We've got a couple of items there of focus during this financial year. One is the review of the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act. The bill has been drafted and pre-certified. It has been corrected. We have received substantive inputs, and we are at the advanced stage of concluding the process before we present it to Parliament. In terms of the review of the Mine Health and Safety Act, the bill has been drafted, it has been pre-certified, and we are at the advanced stages of gazetting it to put it out in the public for inputs. That should happen in the next couple of weeks. We'll be focusing on the amendment of regulations for both of these bills, so that when they finally see their processes of conclusion, that the regulations are also in place to enable a seamless implementation of the amended legislation. We have established a monitoring committee, an interdepartmental monitoring committee, for the augmentation of regulations in particular, in respect of exploration and exploitation of shale gas. Key among the committee members are the Department of Science and Technology, Department of Water Affairs, and Department of Environmental Affairs. We'll be conducting policy impact studies as well, so that we can, from time to time, look at how effective and efficient our policies are. And in this financial year, we'll be undertaking a comprehensive review of the mining data impact to date. Looking internally, honorable members, we continue to, as part of our continuous improvement, we will be reviewing again some of our internal business processes, in the areas where we have not been as efficient as we would like to be, and we commit to live to the Matupil principle and adhere to 95% turnaround in terms of all the queries that we receive. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, PG, CFO, EDGs, Chief Director, Chief Inspector, sorry, of I want to devote you in front of the minister. That is not the case, Chief Inspector. Honorable members, we now give the minister an opportunity to address the committee, and then we'll go for questions after that. Thank you. Honorable minister.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies for coming later. Just landed from Johannesburg. Finished very late last night. Couldn't catch the flight yesterday. My apologies. Apologies to the members of the committee. But also taking this opportunity to thank the members of the select committee for giving us an opportunity today to come once more and present ourselves on our annual performance plan for 2013 to 2014 financial year. I must say that one seems to be much more privileged and feel much more comfortable to be in the presence of the select committee members of the NCOP, because we think that this is one committee which has really been very positive and very frank dealing with us as a department, so we really welcome the engagement to the fellow committee at all times. We are coming this year at a critical time when we look at where we come from as a country broadly. We're coming with the background of what transpired last year at Marikani, where the mining industry was under severe challenges and pressures. But also we're coming at a time when we've just come back from the National Conference of the ruling party, which once more reaffirmed itself on the policies which have been adopted by this government in ensuring that the mining industry and its stability becomes very critical to the economy of our country. We are here today, we're talking of an industry which contributes about 370 billion of its revenue in South Africa, and it employs about 524,000 workers during the year 2012. But as we know that the challenges faced by the economy as a whole, but also by a decline of current challenges of possible retrenchments in some of the mining companies. But that decline is a reflection of what needs to be done, but also challenges faced by the mining industry to what extent that it transforms itself in a way that becomes competitive, not just locally, but also globally. One of the critical issues that we deal with the mining industry, we've also seen government adopting the National Development Plan, which also sets out necessary interventions which we require to achieve through the Developmental Vision of 2030. As we all know, the National Development Plan seeks to triple the size of our economy by then and significantly to reduce unemployment to about 6% and double employment in real terms and to reduce inequalities, especially by 2030. In this regard, the mining industry, we believe that this is an integral component of the fabric of our society which is inscribed in the National Development Plan and has a very important role to play towards attainment of this vision of the mining industry. We need to reflect back a bit as we talk to the select committee today that in 2010, we remember that the stakeholders or the mining industry as a whole developed a mining strategy which had a 2020 vision, and the intention of that vision was to make sure that we align the mining industry in a way that addresses some of the gaps which were identified then. And if you look at where we are with the National Development Plan, if you look at what is found in the mining strategy, it's issues which have been identified by the NDP. Some of those issues one needs to outline. It's the issues, for instance, which you've seen government responding to matters of infrastructure development. If you go back to the main summit strategy document, you will see issues of electricity, issues of rail, issues of export were identified in that particular strategy. Issues of capacity building, of human resources, skills development were some of the issues we identified right in 2010 by the strategy of the mining industry. Therefore, we believe that as the sector, the NDP, it's highly in line with what was identified then by the mining sector as a whole in trying to find means and ways of how best do we make sure that the mining industry continues to grow in South Africa. As we move forward with the strategic planning for the period of 2014 to 2019, our intention is to make sure that we are able to align our own vision and strategy department to the NDP. As we, one of the critical issues for us as a country members is that we need to make sure that mining continues to be relevant in the South African economy. It is a sector which cannot be wished away or undermined because it becomes critical and it is the backbone of our economy. But not only for South Africa, but for the rest of Africa. For its growth and its success, all African countries will require mining industry to play a critical role in poverty alleviation and making sure that the countries perform better. We in South Africa, we think the question of stability and sustainability of the mining industry is our core objective, and this government has its own itself. And as we deal with that strategy as government, the performance plan that clearly needs to set up measurable targets. And according to developing the performance plan, the department took into consideration modalities to effectively deal with the double challenges of poverty, unemployment and inequality, while continues to create an enabling environment to sustain growth, transformation and competitiveness of our country. These are some of the issues as outlined in the mining charter. It's some of the areas that there is a bit of movement, but a lot still needs to happen in those areas. And as we indicated, there are some of the key deliverables which this year are contained in our amendments of the Minerals and Petroleum Development Act, as well as the Mine Health and Safety. And we believe that these amendments this year are critical in unlocking the potentials, but also as we've indicated before, these are some of the issues which will make sure that the NDRDA brings certainty, but also in a way that addresses some of the challenges which you've seen coming through the Constitutional Court. And to further indicate that we come to in front of the Select Committee at a time when last week we've had a milestone, a judgment through the Constitutional Court, where AgriSA had challenged the NPRDA, saying that appropriation, English goes away sometimes. that NPRDA was expropriating mineral rights. So what it does bring to us, it brings stability to the industry, but also to the investor community, where the question of security of tenure can no longer bring uncertainty in our country. So we really welcome that. We also hope to table the PRDA amendments to the National Assembly and to the Select Committee. We will be able to finalize some of these areas, which then needs to form part of our policy position. We have done that, and we are going back to the cabinet soon as the final stage of making sure that we hope before the end of this term we'll be able to table the PRDA to Parliament for its finalization. And in the next term, we hope that the Miners and Safety 2 amendments can also be lifted in the next coming term. The intention is just to make sure that we bring certainty to the mining industry, and it has indicated that some of the challenges which we faced last year was American, and we have participated in that space. But we are happy that we have contributed towards the stability of the mining industry. One way of making sure that we bring stability was to bring all stakeholders around February this year and ensuring that we sign a framework for peace and stability with all mining stakeholders in ensuring that in the mining industry stabilizes, but also there's no violence, which we think and we believe it doesn't belong there. We are happy that all stakeholders and all labor organizations did participate and sign that. The intention of this is to make sure that the question of job creation, we continue to focus on that, and also making sure that when you look at Rustenburg or the Marikane issue, the matters of social labor plans, we vigorously address that as a department in ensuring that some of the past happenings are not forming part of the future. Some of the issues which led to Marikane, like the migrant labor system, does indeed become issues of the past in ensuring that the intervention becomes successful, but also making sure that the mining industry is safe for all workers and there's security for all who are there, and the right to associate and disassociate, as the Constitution indicates, is indeed adhered to. One of the key issues for us, which we intend to prioritize this year, the issue of rehabilitation of mines, in ensuring that all those mines which are operating in a way that it's not properly done, we attend that through the inspectors. We are also focusing on ensuring that the rehabilitation of derelict and ownerless mines, where we've got a bit, I do not want to say a lot, a bit of funding from Treasury will make us to once more improve in ensuring that we contribute positively in the rehabilitation of those mines which were in the past and no one wants to. But linked to this, I don't know whether the DG did indicate that we had a study done by a chartered accountant in the quantification of the date of liability, which intends to say exactly what is the liability to the state when we deal with the derelict and ownerless mine. And this is one way of ensuring that we are able to deal with that, but also to release land, which is not being used currently, because it's very critical for us to make sure that any piece of land is restored for its further usage by the country. What we've seen in the department, we've seen also that we have found, as we deal with the capacity, the Treasury has once again given us additional finances in improving our capacity, especially in the regulatory branch, and making sure that as we deal with issues once more as part of the amendments to the MPRDA, of making sure that the issue of licenses finds itself within a one-stop shop in a way that we are able to commit to investors, but also to ourselves for efficiency, that licensing is not something which happens in different places, but also in a way that brings a lot of uncertainty. We've seen in the past where we would issue a license, then both for mining and environment, but then later the water license is not there. And it's part of the challenges, as we know, that we face it in right now. So we believe that it's one way of making sure that we do better, hence welcome the additional funding from Treasury. But we must also want to bring to the attention of the members that the department, we really want to appreciate and ensure that the role played by the Select Committee for us is very, very critical, especially when it goes to do public hearings and bringing Parliament to the people, the NCOP. It helps us because it allows us to get views from the communities and be able to sharpen our engagement with the community. I must say, after the last NCOP visit to Mpumalanga, with some of the issues raised there, the officials, through the inspectors, have gone out to see what it is that we need to do, and indeed some of the issues raised in that space were true, and we have addressed some of the challenges which were raised there. So we welcome the efforts made by NCOP in playing an oversight, but also playing an awareness process, ensuring that communities can have access to us as government, the government as a whole. We want to make sure that this letter of visiting the communities at various times continues for us to get helping us in sharpening our own regulatory implementation on the ground. As the department this year has indicated, we intend to make sure that the mine health and safety to the amendment is amended. We hope to be coming to Parliament during the third or second session of Parliament in ensuring that mine health and safety is one area which ensures that mining companies are able to work and create safe environment, but also making sure that issues like your health and hygienic Adina DH2. We are engaging currently with the MQA with an intention of addressing skills development and making sure that the issues of effective health and safety programs in the mining sector are a priority. We want to make sure that MQA can assist in addressing the question of skills shortage within the mining industry as a whole, but also to assist government or the department in creating that capacity. I think all of us are alive to the challenges which we are facing right now. The issues of us competing with the private sector when it comes to inspector rate. Yes, we want to create that capacity. As we know that government can't afford payment like the private sector when it comes to inspectors. But we think that government has a role to play in a continuous effort in promoting the particular skills. I must also indicate to the House that we went to cabinet last year. The issue of shale gas has been accepted. Musa indicated where we are at the level of a technical team which comprises of various departments and making sure that the issue of shale gas is advanced, because cabinet has agreed that we need to move into the space as part of our energy mix policy. But the key is the modalities of how to take the process forward. As soon as we are ready, we will be able to come brief the portfolio, the select committee on the matter about where and how do we intend to do that. Because it's not about whether as government we will do it or not. The question is about how do we do it in making sure that it's sustainable, but it also recognizes the challenges of environment as a country. Lastly, we must indicate that as part of our beneficiation strategy where we are at the level where we have identified five commodities as the critical one. Currently, the department is working on the action plan on how best to make sure that we're able to implement. Linked to that, it's a process where one of the five commodities is jewelry making, where we intend to have a jewelry summit later this year. The intention is to make sure that we don't just hit a sector which is not informed by anything. Hence, this to the jewelry sector summit, we'll be looking at what kind of skills need to go into the area of jewelry making, but also take this to the FET colleges in ensuring that we create entrepreneurs more than young workers in the area of jewelry making. We believe if we anchor that within our education system, that would be the best way of making it to be sustainable and being able to move to the future. Lastly, may I indicate that this year we will also be hosting Kimberley Process. This is the 10th year of the Kimberley Process finding in the Kimberley. In June, we'll be hosting the intersession, as we are the chair of the Kimberley Process this year. There are various issues which have come forth within the statute themselves, but we are positive that as a founding member of the Kimberley Process in the Diamond Conflict, in the Conflict Diamond, we are once more honored to host it. We have the chairperson of the Kimberley Process being Ambassador Welile Nhlapho, who is the chair with his knowledge within the international space. So we believe that these are the issues which are critical for us this year. We are presenting to you our budget. As you know that we are a department with a small body and a big head. This year we are a department with about 1.4 billion rand. As you could see that we are regulating an industry which is about over 300 billion in size. So we normally say we are a department with a small body, and as a big head, we're carrying a big head despite that we have a small body. So that's the programs and the department budget we are presenting to the committee this year. Thank you, Chairperson.
Well, thank you very much, Minister, for for the information that you have given the committee. And we understand that you've got a very busy program. I want to thank you. You know, this morning I was very worried when I saw the ministers running to Keynes. And I thought, oh, I was saying to DG, there's a whole actually there's a whole running of ministers detainees, it seems to me, that I hope that you are not one of those that's in trouble, because the minute they start running like that, it seems that they are in trouble, detainees. But thank you very much, Minister, for that, and also thank you for being here, and thank you for honoring the invitation of the committee. We know that you know, this department is one of the departments that provides for a lot of South Africans, and that contribute tremendously to the GDP of the country. And it is in good hands, as we could read also from the AG's report. You know, it's unqualified with a few, just a little few matters, and I'm quite surprised that the DG is not upbeat. You know, the previous DG, when he had an unqualified report, that's the first thing he'll say is, I've got a department with an unqualified report. You know, when I've seen him in Mexico, I asked him, is your report still unqualified now? In Mexico also as well. But thank you, Minister, also for the leadership that you are portraying in that department, and also to the rest of South Africa, you know. Colleagues, before you can answer, is that DMR are highly rated in the world. You know, one of the issues that was spoken in Mexico was that why doesn't South Africa share the knowledge, the mining knowledge, with the rest of the world? You know, Mexico is a very rich country in terms of minerals, and they are looking to South Africa to share that knowledge, how they can, because they've still got open pits and all that, and they are really knocking on our door, Minister, how we can share our knowledge with them in terms of creating the mining entrepreneurs out in the country. So, Honorable Van Lingen. Honorable Van Lingen, so I want to tell you that if you want to buy a mine, go to Mexico. You've got the experience. But it's now over to you, Honorable Members, Honorable Nambi, Honorable Kuni, Honorable Van Lingen, Honorable Sokre. Seems he has waked up now, but he listened very attentively to you, Minister. So, and specifically when we spoke about the Kimberley process, he was wide awake. Honorable Abrams, Honorable Dikhali, and then Honorable Kambere. In that order, Honorable Nyambi.
Thanks, Chair. Let me welcome the presentation and the input that has been made by the Minister. The first point, Chair, is to indicate that it's inspiring on our part as members of Parliament if we see a dedication coming from a department and say that DG and Minister, you are able to dedicate. It's not a one-man show, and everybody was participating. That was very interesting, and it shows that there's something happening in that department. And at the very same time, I'll be upfront to indicate that I had a lot of questions, but two things that make me not to ask a lot of questions. The first one, it's when we have a department coming to do presentation and the minister is with us, and you get an opportunity and we're able even to clarify some of the gaps. And beyond that, some of us were so fortunate because the entire committee minister was invited a week before last to attend the Heads of Mission Conference, and you were there making a presentation, and you were able to take us through some of what is happening in the department, and that was very interesting. The entire, because the membership of this committee is also a membership of international missions, so we went there with that head cap.
I was wondering, why is the portfolio committee on economy and minerals there now? I got the club.
We are checking more trade, Minister.
DG, my first request is that the issue of taking Parliament to the people, and there were questions from Mpumalanga side, it will be good for us as members of Parliament to get the development of those issues that are being attended, so that it must not be a repetition, because you might find that we'll write the very same issue that is still, that we are attending to, but just because we are not aware. So in the absence of information, perception can become reality, and that will create unnecessary problems. The second one is about the issue of vacant rate. If you can assist and maybe quantify it and reflect it in terms of percentage, so that you can be able, once we are dealing with your annual report next financial year, we are saying, no, you said you are going to reduce it by this particular percentage and what went wrong. But once you say it's going to be a reduction, then it becomes impossible for us to do that effective oversight. That one is also linked to, last we're dealing with this issue of filling of funded vacancies in 4 months. It can be a little bit of elaboration issue about that one. The practicality of the 4 months, is it really practical? Because I remember the last time we were engaging about it and there were a lot of questions. Take us through it, because I have a different view about it. The last one, we are aware that now we have been to a number of meetings where the National Development Plan that has already been adopted by Cabinet was presented. It was even presented to, we have even had a sitting. The impact of it to your programs, don't you think you are supposed to, what is the implications of it in relation to what you are presenting to us today? If ever you can be able to clarify, is there a need for you to add a particular program, or are you fine with the programs you are having? They are in line with what you are supposed to be doing. But be that as it may, Chairperson, it was a very good presentation. I find it to be very interesting, and maybe it's because I've been to that Days of Mission conference with you and some of the members, where some of the things were presented by the minister, and it was a quite intensive engagement exercise at that level. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Honourable Mkuni. Just before I go to Honourable Mkuni, the DG and one of the staff members left to leave us at 12:30. It's a presidential program. I'm not sure whether you will also be leaving that time, Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to clarify so that the members understand, it's about Maritani, because it never ended. We had to say, what do we put in place? One of the tasks we given in terms of the social labor plan was to deal with the question of human settlement around the mining sector. So there has been work going on. That's where the DG are supposed to go, but I've decided that they can go. I will finish with yourselves here. So sharing, of sharing our responsibility, because I think the DG will be capable to and report on the matter, and I think also in some of the issues at an appropriate time we will come to brief you. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Honourable Mkuni?
Thank you, Chair. I usually say, person says he does praise the fish for swimming, because it's supposed to swim. But to the former and the lay still used to say that. I think the work is a vibe to what I'm referring to. We appreciate the good work and the good report. In short, Chairperson, my question is, although Minister, the ruling party has taken a decision on the issue of nationalization, there are still unions that they are advocating for nationalization. What is the department's strategy to deal with that issue, especially the impact it has on foreign investors and business confidence in general in the country? My second question, Chairperson, is on the issue of oil and gas exploration. I just want to find out if ever are there still foreign companies subsidized by South African government exploring for gas and oil in South African waters, and what's the impact of that in the this black economic empowerment ownership as such. The first question is on the issue of the 2014 target of 6% ownership. Are we going to reach that target or not? What is the department strategy? I think I've asked this question in a way of attracting investment seeing all this, the Marikana issue, the labor unrest that is seeming to be increasing in the country, and the way South Africa is being right in society. And the minister says the society or any piece of land is restored to its original or to its use in the country. If I give you just a reference, the minister. We drive from Joburg to the street, or you go into towards the Caroline. There's a lot of other land that has been devastated by open earth mining. Now, how does the department foresee us restoring, or the country restoring that arable land and filling up, or if we're going to fill up all those open cast minings, especially in the Mpumalanga and the Northern Cape, you know, around Gosmasbeck area? Oil for gas. We've got one of the largest vast resources of reserves in the world. And we've got one of the most important energy, you know, extracting oil from gas. Can't you look into that area, or what are we doing in that area to make sure that there's a sufficient supply of oil coming in 50 years, 100 years' time? Can you use those resources and the technology that we have? Mineral production promotion, the issue of skills. Don't you think that skills we have, or shortage of skills in the country, is an impediment to our mineral beneficiation and all its spin-offs, as you foresee, creating jobs, making everybody better in the country? But as long as we've got no skills, won't that actually spoil the problem of mineral beneficiation? So thank you, Mr. Honorable Ngoni,
Honorable Fami.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, DG, and thank you, Honourable Minister. Minister, I must say it's always good to have you and see you with us. You're one of the few ministers that honour us with your presence. Thank you very much for that. In some of the presentations, the numbers are clear in the beginning, and then later on they sort of disappear, and there are blank targets in the presentations, and I'm a little really concerned, DG, not yours, further down, the numbers for each program is getting less and less and less, so the explanation is not clear where the money is going. The budget and the NDP, the effect on the program structure and possibly on the budget, I'd like to hear more about that. Something that worries me is the forever cry for turnaround times and the fact that 80% of the targets or 80% of the issues must be addressed. So we're far from getting 95-96% results in inquiries that we resolve. And then something that I've picked up recently, Minister, is the mining for small mining rights or legislation for small miners and small miners in traditional areas and small miners in the diamond industry and small miners on the mining what do you call it? The main worker. What is there anything in place and how can we, or is it in the pipeline rather? And if not, should we not look at that? You mentioned here the waste scrap processing, reprocessing program for 81 million. I would like to hear more about that. The study on derelict mines sounds very interesting. I can't recall having seen that. Has it been out there available for a long time? Maybe we can have access to that, thank you. And then the licensing and a one-stop shop. I thought there was a central program, and it was in last year's budget already, and that it was going to address everything. Yet, there are still too many mines with operating without mining licenses and water licenses and that sort of thing. And it's really a concern. That system, is it not working, or is it only a teenager now, like we've heard before, and when is it going to get addressed? Minister, I'm glad that you have picked up on the issues in Mpumalanga and that you addressed those. Tongue in the cheek, I can't recall how many times we've raised issues in the NCOP and it's not being addressed. So maybe today you will clearly hear my colleague here sitting next to me with regards to the diamond issues in the Northern Cape, and what should come back to Kimberley, as you know what I'm talking about. And I think the NDP refers to the infrastructure weaknesses, and a lot of it does not affect your department. And I know we've got special programs, the 18 programs, and will they genuinely address and support the growth plan of the mining industry? It's maybe more an opinion, if I may ask an opinion, that I would like to hear with confidence from you, because if this industry doesn't grow, then definitely the South Africa will not grow. And then we always say at the end of the financial year, now how much money did you spend in each province and what has happened, and this is the NCOP. Now I don't know that I've seen anything exciting about what we're doing in the provinces, and I went to Lady Fair in that area last week, and I'm just wondering what are we doing in our provinces, and what programs are you running in our provinces? And even if you don't give it that thing today, that analysis today, you see, then we can check on what is happening in our provinces and what still needs to be addressed, because that's why we're here as NCOP. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Fleming and Honourable Sinclair.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chair, I think we sing like a choir today about the minister.
Of course, really, Minister, you're one of the few ministers that that honour us with your presence. Thank you very much for that. Chairperson, I want to start. There's a document that's been done by the research unit. I don't know if one of the researchers done it, but I must compliment the researchers. You know, we're always very critical about them sometimes and so on, and I must say it's a very good document. Thank you very much for this. But there's one, Minister, there's one piece in this research document that we received. I don't think you received it, but it sort of encapsulates the whole issue about mining. And it says, mining is a business that, in the best of circumstances, is characterized by fierce competition and the uncertainties of commodity markets. Now, that sort of is an overarching statement about mining in general. Now, you indicated about the difficulties last year and also this year, and if you were a queen, I suppose you would once again say it was an honor or a bliss, like the year when the queen had that very difficult year with the children and so on. You know. But linked to that is the issue about how do we really create real value for all the people in South Africa, given our vast resources, mineral resources. And I think that's the difficulty that we continuously struggle with and that we're trying to address. Now, you raised the issue about nationalization, and my colleague at the back raised the issue and says, yes, it was accepted at that nationalization, or it was discussed that nationalization is not a government policy. But certainly there is great drive and thrust by people and community specifically to be part of the mineral wealth of this country. And if we don't address that in some way, then
things continuously going to create serious tension. Maybe that's the part of the sort of underlying rationale of mineral beneficiation to do it. But if I can come to mineral beneficiation and raise the question, Minister, you know, I recently posed a question to you and you came back and say, but there's no specific detail about mineral beneficiation at the moment available. But we received a little booklet at the Heads of Mission get together. We received a little booklet, a green booklet that's very helpful in terms of it. But for me, the issue about mineral beneficiation can't stand alone. It's a four or five or a number of processes that also accumulates into what we want to achieve. Because you can't do mineral beneficiation if you don't have energy security. That is one of the biggest challenges. You can't do mineral beneficiation if you don't have infrastructure development and, for instance, port capacity and road capacity and all this. You know, Minister, yesterday I was in Katu, and I don't know when like you've been in Katu, but it's an absolute explosion, and I wish the chairperson would take us to Katu, go and see what's happening there. But the infrastructure can't carry all the development that's going on there. So we must have an integrated approach in terms of how we achieve that and so on. Now, linked to that is the issue that was also raised, the issue about investor confidence. Minister, if you look at the way that gold is losing value at the moment, I don't know where it stands this morning, maybe it's 1,400 or 1,450. Gold, over years, has been the savior of South Africa during difficult economic times. And I'm just afraid that, given that, and also the fact that gold continues losing value, it will not bring investors to our country. Link that to the whole issue about Marikana. I know government is trying, and you've done a lot of work, traveled overseas, and press investors and so on. But if you ask big investors today, they continuously say Marikana in the back of their mind. That investor confidence, I don't think, with due respect, that we get in government is creating that. Yeah, then coming to my pet hobby, Honorable Minister, the issue about the state diamond trade. You are a very disciplined cadre of your organization, I presume. But there was the chairperson of the province of the party and also the MEC of Finance and Economic Development actually pleaded with the president when we were pitching the same last year to say, but this is something for the Northern Cape that the president must drive. Now, we received a document today, which unfortunately, once again, put fuel to my fire, Minister. You know my viewpoint, not my viewpoint, our viewpoint. Across party boundaries. The state diamond trader must be there. But now the difficulty is, if you look at the detail in terms of this chairperson, it just also shows that there's some underlying deficiencies with the state diamond trader. And can I just, with your permission, just raise one or two? The first one is the issue about profitability. On page 19 of this report, you would see there that from the previous financial year, March 2012 to March 2013, the gross profit dropped with almost from 22 million to 8 million. And the net income dropped from 12 million. In 2012 there was a net income of 12 million and now there's a loss of 1.7 million. I don't know if you've picked it up, but it's here in the report on page 19. Now that's on top of the fact. It's on top of the fact that the state diamond trader in the previous financial year paid tax of 3.2 million, but this last financial year, because it's now tax exempt, it doesn't pay tax anymore. Now, this is very, in terms of my understanding, in terms of what is the purpose of the state diamond trade? It's supposed to make a profit. It's supposed to make it easier for new incomers, HDIs, also to get access to the market. but it shows a steady decline, not a steady, a serious decline in the way that it's running its business. But more than that, if you look at the detail of how the remuneration is taking place, on page, where is it? 30, on page 30. Now we want to create an institution that can run and be capacitated to do the work, but the CEO gets a package which is quite handsome, 140,000 rand a month, but then, chairperson, they outsource issues, for instance, like the company secretary, they outsource human resource, you know. And you can go down on the list there. There's a number of crucial issues that's been outsourced. So it just seems to me that the state diamond trade is not doing what it's supposed to do, despite the fact that we've got a serious problem in terms of the location. So, and I think, Chair, this is a parastatal of government, and I honestly believe that we must call the state diamond trade and the people that's responsible to come and explain to us what is happening there. Chair, then... The Kimberley process, Minister, I think the part of the celebration of the 10 years must be in Kimberley. It's the Kimberley process, so... But, Minister, one is contaminated by your neighbours. We heard it there at Turco and so on. Now, unfortunately, part of the reason for the Kimberley process was to make sure that the diamonds in Zimbabwe are being dealt with in a proper fashion. Now, if the media, I know some ministers don't believe the media and the Sunday Times and so on, but if the media...
Thank you.
Can carry on with your questions. Politics people...
I just called your name, you didn't...
Yeah, no, chapters of politics, the people that sit there, but they're very dangerous. There's a serious problem in terms of the way that Zimbabwe deals with the diamonds. If you can agree to that. And my understanding, Minister, was that that was part of the intention to make sure that we as a region at least get some stability into the way that we deal with our diamonds. Now the problem with this apparently is not many of the money is ending in the government coffers and seems to go all places and so on. Critical question is, what are our viewpoints in terms of the way that Zimbabwe deal with it? Then, the second last issue, the short issue there, the satellite office. DG, over years, I pleaded that you must look at the satellite office for Katu, please, for Northern Cape. You know, I think it's reasonable, given the number of activities that's taking place and so on, instead of the Kimberley office. Yeah, and then the last issue, Honourable Minister, the issue about shale gas. We agree on many things, but on that one we disagree. And we agree to disagree, because it's a cost-cutting issue. If you look at the energy mix in South Africa, I honestly believe that there's enough resources to make it possible that we do not consider shale gas. I was born in a little town called Victoria West. I've told you previously the best fossils in the world you can find there. The Karoo is a very special place. But for the Karoo it's not about, the biggest challenge in the Karoo is not energy, but water. And I understand when you say about government or cabinet agreed, and it's not whether but how we're going to do it. In terms of that, how about Minister? We end of the term, maybe some of us won't be around next year and so on. If I can plead with you, in terms of the how part, make sure that the technology to save the Karoo, that we can leave a legacy behind. Maybe the shale gas will bring prosperity for 60 to 80 years, but Karoo is hundreds of millions of years old. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Sinclair, Honourable Labour.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Mr. Didi, and all presenters for a very formative presentation. I want to echo Minister and say that I also feel very, very comfortable with you, and we should actually be saying Malibong. Yes, Gamalama Katikola. Thank you. Let me start raising now. Okay. But the thing is, I'm very delighted to hear about your jewelry summit, and also that you will be thinking of taking the diamond trade into the FETs. We have many, many diamond cutters in South Africa that's not qualified, but they need to be recognized for the skills, because they are qualified, but they just not they don't have the paperwork. So we need to recognize their skills. Then on the exit interviews and the presenter, I'd like to know, why do we not do something progressively, instead of waiting until somebody exits and then try and retain that person? The experience has taught me that once a person wants to leave any company, that they've made up their minds. So actually retaining them in an exit interview, you're actually looking and heading for a disaster, because they've already been looking and searching for something else, and in the exit interview sometimes you do not get it through because they already want to move. But I'd like to know what makes you retain them if you find the problem in the exit interview. And on what's the purpose of not having prior intervention, as I said. Then for the vulnerable groups, skill development, I've asked this question several times. And I know when we talk about disabled people, we say the mining sector is a dangerous sector, but we also have an administrative part of the mining sector. We need to look and see how we can develop people's skills within that sector and not say, fine, they've got to go underground. There are many things that they can do on top. The SMMEs, do you have a mentorship program for SMMEs? And also, again, what is the exit period before they are left on their own? That is now when they receive some sort of skill development training and so on, what to do, how to do. How long does it take for them to actually exit and be on their own and be sustainable? How do you adjust the SNLPs with the IDPs of municipalities? We've been visiting Mpumalanga recently, and we found that the mine has been doing very, very well there. And when we ask the LED department, it was like, what? We don't do anything. The mine is supposed to do that. But there should be some intervention for the municipalities to also do the LED and not just depend on the mine to do it. Regarding the HDSI control entities, also is there mentorship provided? And I think mentorship is key for sustainable projects, in especially with the HDSI, because we find that people are trained but not mentored, and they're also on their own and don't know what to do. How long, what is the mentorship program, and how long does it take to facilitate such a program? And regarding the monitoring and evaluation of these programs, how frequently is it done, or don't you do? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Khari.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to everybody. Let me go more for village savers to learn about our own society. Since 2009, we've been here for the committee. Thank you very much. I was having only two questions, and on the William Bikard one. The other one is from the annual performance plan from whereby the department strategy is focusing on the contribution of skills development. The Ministerial Girl Bursary Program will be targeting girl learner from Cote d'Ivoire. My question is, why only 20 in 2013, 14, 15, 16, only 20 learners? And also, not why a girl and boy learners, but only girls. And the other thing is that our country is so big. I think French is not going to help us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mahoshi. You know, if Mahoshi praises you, Minister, then it's job well done. Honorable Gamere.
Thanks. Let me also, for the certain resident, the Minister, and say you respect Parliament as a whole, and we thank you for that. You are a good example. We need to talk and write about these stories. You know, most of the questions have been asked about the vacancies. I wanted to know from when, if you talk about funded vacancies, that will feed them in 4 months, starting when, is it April or some of that, because we're already 2 months now. So that has been asked. The issue about inspectors, generally we have a challenge with inspectors. How many are to be recruited this year? Because the major task of mine health and safety is the inspectors. And then also, what informs you to, or drives you to limit the reductions of silica exposure or noise exposure to 10, 10 to 20, why not 50 or 60? What prevents you from reaching the target? On regulation, I want to check if you look at transformation when issuing new mining rights. Might have a register, might not have a register, say now, in order to address transformation, there are so many applications from the advantage. Then you put a stop and then... Also, I want to say, Minister, for you being there in Mpumalanga, it helped, it assisted the whole NPOP, not only this committee. But there's the issue of the closure of the, I think, two mines in Mpumalanga. Maybe it is what you said, there's work on progress being done. If you could just update us, because one town has literally become a ghost town because of the closure of the... I've heard Honorable Sinclair's touch on the issue of shale gas and fracturing. He has got another view. I support it. You know, I know what it will do to that area. Would want to hear something about that. Mahul was talking about Girlchild. DDG Joel knows about this. There was a learner who contacted me from Limpopo last year, wanted to study metallurgy engineering. And the department said they only sponsor extractive metallurgy at UJ. I said, come on, man. You must speak to the minister. Something can be done about this child. I'm sure it's a scarce case. There hasn't been progress that much on that issue. The child is still at UJ. But she needs some financial support. Thank you, DG and the minister. The CGS is doing some very good work in my area. And let me diplomatic and say around the Shawe and surrounding areas. They are stationed there at the Shawe. They're doing very good work. Very soon, I said last time, you'll see KwaZulu-Natal will change mining. A lot of coal being discovered in many areas and other commodities. I want to thank you for that. How do you attract international investors when there is a moratorium on the selling of land and so on? I want, does that balance? The issue also of Marikana has been touched. And when you go internationally, investors ask about our labor laws and unions, vice versa. How do we deal with these things? Because we really do need investors. As a proposal, I think there must be a proper and a structured working relationship with international relations. Just as there is with trade and industry, that is an official state there. Because investors say, we're interested in mining, we go to an embassy, we find a DGI official. Then it becomes a long chain. That then they contact mineral resources, then it becomes long. I think we need to strike another form of relationship. And then lastly, your participation in BRICS and the department is highly appreciated, and we hope to see the fruits of the BRICS engagement. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kamele. Honorable Farlinga.
Even I forgot to ask, I'm curious to ask the Minister or the DG whether supply chain management workshop or shops or production shops or production units that are going to be erected close to the mining industry areas, whether this department is going to play a role in that, and if so, whether there's any money going that way.
Thank you. Minister, I've just got two small questions. I want to find out how this budget, the past team, sorry, the budget does to respond to process, respond to the social labor unrest, particularly emanating from the 2012 series of events, unrest events in the industry. How does it speak to that? And what are the balances of the industry in terms of contributing input raw materials to the manufacturing sector as encapsulated by the or in the National Development Plan. Over to you, Minister DG, and the rest of the group.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll start first. I'll start with the Chairperson's question on the MIGDET. Musa will respond to the a lot of work going on, but also we cooperating with other departments. In the past, if you remember, there were MIGDET just being ourselves, the industry. But now we've identified other departments like labor, DDI, streamlining our work. Musa will speak to that. And the challenge faced by the industry, you said when it comes to
raw material.
I would also ask Musa to speak on this particular item so as to share, because it has a direct bearing on the beneficiation strategy. And I would say he must respond to that. Just going back to the question raised by Honorable Nyambe, taking Parliament to the people. Normally we do prepare a report. I think our challenge is that we assume that when we give to the chairperson of the NCOP, come to you. What we will do is that we will also share with the chairperson so that then he shares with the committee the report. Even the last time when we were in Sukukun, we did submit a report to the work done after issues raised, and we'll do the same this one, because I think it will help us to understand what are the issues. I think the DG will respond to the issue of vacancies linked to the question of certifying them when it comes to, and the HR people, when it comes to percentages and the question of filling vacancies over a particular period of that. When it comes to a regional development plan, as we know that it was recently adopted by cabinet, we are working on that in the alignment to our own departmental plan. It's just to share with you on yesterday it was Monday, the NDP DG came to the department to make presentations just to make sure that we are able to align properly, and they're going to do that with all departments so that at the end of the day we're not misaligned, because definitely to say what is it that needs to go in there. But just to share broadly, for us NDP comes in almost within our understanding, and I say if you look at I'm not sure, just to check whether the mining strategy was did we share with the committee? I don't think we did. Yeah, I don't think we did share the mining strategy which we had in Dalit Bank. I would suggest that the team must share the document with ourselves. So to see some of the issues raised, I think it touches on the issue which was raised on the infrastructure for the mining industry. It really goes to the core of what are the needs for us to grow the mining industry. In fact, to a great extent, when you talk about the PICC, the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Committee, you look at the issues which came in later, you find them exactly in our document which we developed in 2010 with the industry, of all the stakeholders, which really goes to the core on how do we grow the mining industry. Energy, Ray wrote all those issues. How do we make sure that, including our ports, so it speaks to all those issues of these are the elements or the tools we need to grow the mining industry in South Africa. So we have outset of the officials distribute the strategies to see what are the issues raised then, and how did we intend to address those issues as part of moving forward when it comes to them. And going to the issue or on the issue of nationalization, just to mention that like in any other situation, that especially in open democracies, people will raise whatever they want. You can't stop them. You can't say don't say it. They will say it. But I think what is key is that as people raise issues, do you see them as issues which need to be considered, affected into your policy space? And definitely the issue of nationalization has been identified as an issue which does not address or which will not grow our economy, especially in the mining space. Because you don't look at it just as nationalization, you also have to look at the history. You're talking about a matured industry which was created around a particular process or ideology. And if you've got to contest that, do you see this being the solution in addressing our problems? Indeed, the Congress of the Ring Party said that's not the route, it's not going to grow our industry. But you also have to look at where nationalization happened in other parts of the world. I mean, the Eastern Bloc collapsed, a different form of economic structures or systems were considered more than just nationalization. I think that's what informs us. While that might continue to raise that, I think our response for us it deals with the issue of saying what is it that we need to do as a country in growing the mining industry. And one of the issues, some of the issues, I think, is the issues of infrastructure for us to be able to respond. Because even if you nationalize, what are you nationalizing if you don't have the infrastructure? What, I mean, if you don't have energy, as we're seeing right now, it's winter, we've got challenges of energy, we're all panicking. If you don't have the roads to transport your coal or your rail to transport your commodity, it doesn't help. Those are the key sectors or pillars which we need to look at today. What is it that will grow our economic space? One, as we indicated, the issue, for instance, of saying, as a country continuing to export raw materials, is that how we're going to grow our economy? No. Hence, we're talking about beneficiation, value addition to our commodity as a country. Those are the issues which we are looking at to say, what is it that we need to do in making sure that we grow the mining industry adequately, but in ensuring that it creates jobs. I must also say, part of that is also the question of skills. Our economy broadly is South Africa. The challenge we face in growing our economy is creating appropriate skills for us to grow the economy, not just mining, as a whole. We've got to invest in skills development in the country to position South Africa. And NDP enters our growth around the kind of skills which we've got to create as a country. So I would say, in mining too, we must create the relevant skills for us to be able to move forward. And in the issue of skills, also to say, it's also not enough to create skills in our country or in offering bursaries to our young graduates, to our young people, then they graduate when they finish their current jobs. That's one of the challenges. I mean, if you look at the number of young people in the mining, in the mining space, who had gone through various universities to acquire the right professions, in geology, mining engineer, they can't find jobs. And those young people have now moved to be consultants in the mining space, in the financial space. So it's a challenge. And these are some of the issues as a department we are going to engage with in making sure what is it that is not happening. One of the areas which has been identified by the inspectorates in one of the professional certificates, it's how it was structured. You know, I'm told, I don't know, but I'm told that in the past it was done in such a way that it was like only 5% must get it. It was like your gatekeeping kind of environment. How do we open up? And there's Mguni saying, shaking his head, you know, coming from the industry. I think he knows it better than me. What is it that we're doing that if we're looking at the potential of growing mining once more, are those old habits still good for now? Or we've got to change? It's also about the change of mindset and the change of approach for us to impact on the growth of our mining industry. The question raised by Honorable Mguni on the issue of exploration and oil and gas, I must say there are a lot of potential. One of the issues which we're looking at when we deal with the amendments of the APRDA is also to address this particular aspect. What is it that we want to do as a country? I think later we'll be coming back about the potential and opportunities existing in our country. I'm not a geologist, the DG understands this thing much better. To say, if you look at where we are, all of a sudden, Africa has oil as a whole. Zambia, Ghana, Mozambique next door has oil. It was never there. So the whole transformation of the geology within our continent shows that there's a lot of potential. And we are also told that in South Africa, there's a lot of potential in gas, oil, holy whatever. Someone referred to South Africa as a kitchen, where whatever you want to find it in the kitchen. So they say South Africa is a kitchen of mineral commodity in the world, because there's such a lot of commodities or potential which have not even identified as a country. And linked to your question, Mr. Mbuni, is that one of the issues which we have done is to look at the capacity of Council for Joseph. Can Council for Joseph go? If we go back as government at some point, the inception of democracy, one of the mistakes we made was to cut on funding for our state-owned enterprises, especially the research institution, to commercialize them. And that almost destroyed them. But what we have done as DMR is to make sure that for the first time last year, Council for Geoscience was given more funding, realizing that they've got to play in the space of exploration in identifying what is it that we have as a country. Because if we are unable to invest in exploration, then we will not know. We'll be the mess of others who will do it when they like and keep it to themselves, like we see now. If you look at our data, what we have geologically, it was done many years ago, but now nothing is happening. So we really have to move in this space, further invest as the state in the exploration space, in identifying what it is that we have as a country, so that the government is able to reposition the country adequately. How do you reposition what you don't know? What is it that you have that you need to use as part of repositioning? So this is the space we're looking at to say we've got to move in this space. But some of the challenges, again, in this space of exploration of oil and gas, it's the skills. We've got to grow the skills in terms of people in the oil, you know. I think you know it better. They might all be geologists, but there is an issue of specialization in the various issues. So these are some of the areas which I think we need to look at and tweak our country to respond adequately, not only here. Also, when it comes to our offshore, we are told that we've got many minerals in our waters. What is it that we're going to do? Because even if we have them, but if we don't have the fields again, we'll not be able to tap into that space adequately in meeting the needs of the country. So I think that's where we are. The 2014, we would like to say we are on track. We don't want to say now whether we will meet the target or not. We're doing the work, and we'll appeal to the committee, allow us space to do our work, but also to make sure when we come back at an appropriate time as our commitment, then we are able to tell the world, because it's not about yourself. We also have to give a report to the country, a country report, whether we've met that those targets or not. As you know, in 2009, there was a reveal that we are not doing well. So the 2014 is some of the issues we're looking at to say, not only whether we're doing well, how do we make sure that we're able to achieve our 26% target? And also making sure that we must not say we're reaching those targets, only to find that we have a lot of funding which are going to leave tomorrow. Because it's about sustainability and creating a transformed mining industry of the future. I agree with you, Honorable Mguni, when it comes to your arable land and a lot of it around Mpumalanga and Northern Cape. It's part of the challenge we have. The reports of your chartered people who are dealing with that, we hope, am I right? The actuarial scientists who are doing the work. That's the report. When it's done, we will be able to come and show the committee. Its intention is to quantify scientifically what is it that is facing this industry in terms of your derelict and ownerless mine. So that would include Mpumalanga, that would include mainly Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, in some of the areas. But you must also bear in mind some of the challenges. It's also about where there was illegal mining, which needs to be addressed. So you can't do that space too, because then it means we are unable to release the land in that particular space. Linked to the exploration is the issue of oil and gas. It's part of our security of tenure. We've got to identify the needs. If the U.S. today
believes that the certain plans of Tiger that they are not going to rely on the Middle East when it comes to their oil supply or their crude oil supply, then moving towards self-sufficiency, because they identify Tiger as one of their future energy matters as a country. So I think we're facing those challenges. What is it that we do? If you look at, just to share with you currently, one of our major suppliers of crude oil used to be Iran. With the latest sanctions on Iran, we've got to cut our relations when it comes to that space. Otherwise, if we don't cut, we'll have the challenges. So it's the reality that at some point, what used to be your traditional suppliers might not be there for various reasons. But if we have the potential, how do you utilize that space to make sure that we get better as part of the future? And I think we have answered the issue of skills development. I would say Gigi and the team respond to the issue of numbers that are not here. I'm not the number person they deal with that. I think the issue of the budget, I've indicated we are busy. Not only ourselves, but all departments have to align with NDP. Because if we have to create a different future, we have to align. We can't have a vision which it's not funded. So it's some of the issues that we'll deal with. The time turnaround times, the DG will deal with that. I think the issue of small-scale mining or your small people out there, just broadly, is that one of the challenges is that the department, if you look at its core mandate, its regulation, and if you look at our funding too, drives within that space. Hence, we are one of the departments with little money. But I think for us, it's about what is it that we can create as an enabling environment for small-scale miners or for small miners to survive. One of the issues which we're looking at, it's not here. We hope to partner with departments like trade and industry because they've got money. They also have the question of cooperatives. So the partnership will help us in shaping the future of some of the small-scale miners as part of your SMEs, because you can't delink them. That's where the money is. That's where the grants are. You send them in DTI. So we're looking at partnering with other departments. We're also looking at partnering with the Department of Education and Skills Development in making sure that we're able to achieve what we need as a department. Just the issue of one-stop shop, we are almost there. The NPFGA will realize that, because then it will be integrating, also recognizing NEMA, part of NEMA coming into us. So if you have that streamlining approach, the issue of water licensing will be there. The proposed amendments are such that we have to, the turnaround time in the licensing in an integrated way, it's 236 days. Yeah, they say it's about 236 days, which should be a maximum, because how we approach in the NPRGA amendments would be that when you apply for a mining license, you don't wait to get a mining license. Simultaneously, you apply for your water license, because it deals with the issue raised around water scarcity in the country. Why give you a license of mining in an area where there's no water? So we've got to integrate, recognizing that we do our mining in a sustainable way, which recognizes even the resource we have as a country, not just as a section. So the one stop will also be addressing that. So we think these are the issues which indeed will be able to deal with in the new act. Hence, we are happy that Treasury has also recognized the need for us to fund that particular space in advance. We should also look at having a competency of environment within DMR. It's ensuring that we don't do wrong things. We don't issue your wineless, a license. These are some of the issues which we will be having the necessary capacity in the department. For us, when it comes to the issue of money spent in provinces, we don't have much. What we can do is influence what goes in other departments. For instance, the issue of rehabilitation. Those are the programs which then tend to be special funding. And it's on the basis of that when we go and do the little rehabilitation, then it's what the provinces can benefit, because we are given or funded for those particular programs. So those are such projects which we can say this is what you are doing, just to share our focus on the little money we have will be Northern Cape, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Limpopo, KZN. That's where we want to focus the little money we have for rehabilitation in specific areas. It's going to take us a while. We hope the actuarial report might also influence Treasury later to give us more money. I think that I've indicated our mining strategy deals with some of the issues in the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Committee issues for the mining industry. The commodity, I asked Musa to deal with the commodity, how to create value for our people and for that. Beneficiation, as I've indicated, right, Honorable Sintley, it kind of it's a value chain, it's about energy, it's about markets, creation of markets, it's about technology, new commodity, new products needs to be developed if we have to optimize our commodity as a country. So it's not just value addition when it comes to particular products, it's also about innovation. With our research institutions, we need to move into that space. What else can we produce in South Africa, which then can form part of how best do we sell that the final product to the markets? If you look at, for instance, ourselves, we're talking about steel beneficiation, creating our own steel. We are a country which is supposed to be involved in infrastructure development, but we're importing steel. It's time that we have iron ore, manganese, nickel, everything is here. We need to move to that space of the value addition in our final product, not only for ourselves, but also for export markets. So these are some of the issues to form part of the value chain within the beneficiation space.
Sorry, if I have a question. Chair, it was reported, I think, 3 years ago, that actually MINTEC found a very special scale of an alloy that was actually patented for it. It was supposed to be patented for it, but it was only short of 8 million rand. Government will fund it with 80 million rand for that particular patent of a particular oil. I mean, alloy for steel. Now, what do you think, Mr.? Why can't the government just fund it, the 80 million so that we get the best alloy in the world and then we got the patent for that?
Well, just to share with you, some of those patents were sold. They are gone. Precisely because of the approach and the attitude of some, at some point of government, which thought that the research institutions like MINTEC or CSIR must commercialize. And they commercialized some of those patents and they sold them somewhere else. But we are saying we've relooked at that and you will see there's going to be a shift again once more in that space in making sure that more money is spent in our own findings or our own new innovations, because we had really moved away. It's not only that, there's a lot. You know, if you look at the, if you can just look at the total loss of our innovations, it's a lot which this country has lost and sold to other people in the world. I'll make an example. There was a technology developed for trolleys in our supermarkets, the trolleys, where you put things there, you don't count. You pass the trolley. We developed it. Now it's in the UK. They own it, that technology. Developed with taxpayers' money in South Africa, but because we never appreciated it, it's gone. And I heard now that Walmart and Macro are going to bring that technology. So we migrate what we find, and then we buy it at a cost in South Africa. So it's the correcting some of the things which we have done wrong and not appreciated. So the thing like we take. But we are positive that now we're on the right track in recognizing and appreciating what our scientists can do in South Africa. The issue of the diamond trader, as you say, we agree with you. There's a lot which we think in the diamond trader is supposed to be an institution which is able to fund and move towards being sustainable. If we're not going to revisit the trader as a whole, whether it's in Joburg or in Kimberley, it's not going to be right. We have to revisit the model. The model indeed has challenges with other trade itself to relocate itself, but also as government, I think we've got to look at it. How do we reposition the trader? Let me share with you what we see in Dubai trade. What you see in Dubai 10 years ago is what South Africa said we need to do. Instead of being gold, we came up with a trader. But our objective was to have what Dubai is doing. And that's where we went wrong. We don't become ambitious. We have all these ambitious ideas, but when we're supposed to implement, we get to move into that space. But what we intend to do indeed, hence we're talking about jewelry, we're talking about that, the act itself, what is it that we need to do as a country to make sure we create a sustainable, not diamond, because also diamond feeds into something. It feeds into the jewelry sector. You can't have a sustainable diamond sector if ourselves can't consume. Our local jewelry people buy diamonds from India, cut and polish China. So it's a shift of your total mindset in creating a new industry for the diamond trader to be sustainable. So the model indeed, it's not going to be sustainable. We've got to look at it. We've got to move in a way that changes completely if we must compete with the world. You know, one of the issues talking about the diamond trader, the African Diamond Producers Association, African countries, identified South Africa as a hub for the SADC region for diamond trading. So we need to create that space. Therefore, what is it that we need to think beyond what we have? What is it that will make us to be attractive? What is it that we get right now? Because we are indeed an international market. There are people who come and buy our little diamonds. But what is it that we need to do to make it to maximize that space? So I think that's the challenge for all of us as a country. And making sure that Kimberley, and I normally say, feed into that space in a bigger way. Jobek is a hub for all of us. If the SADC region wants to trade, Angola wants us to sell their diamonds, what is it that we need to do to access that in a way that makes us to be competitive and better advantage than Dubai? So these are the issues we really have to move into that space in making sure that we shape the diamond trader within the context of the global markets, not just polishing and cutting. I agree, polishing and cutting is good, but we also have to look at what is it that will make us to the value chain. Hence, we want to enter that with skills development, making sure that we have jewelry makers in the country in a way that takes us forward. You know, I was speaking to MQA to share with them. It's not that they don't ask us next week to bring it here, or DG must bring it here. It's not there. But excitement on some of these issues which have been brought to our attention. The MQA is looking at a curriculum of watchmaking, taking it to the equities of watchmaking. Imagine we're going to produce our own bracelet, and we can call it Sinclair. The feedback becomes Sinclair.
You won't buy it because of Sinclair.
So I'm just saying that these are the issues which we have to look at and say, how do we manage that in that space? There's a lot of opportunities for us as a country. Let me also say, Botswana, again, because we talk and not act, they decided to steal some of our ideas. But rest assured, they thought that they're getting there. They're still talking about polishing and cutting and manufacturing. If we do it right, we'll be better than them, because the whole idea is about creating your local markets. Because if you don't create your own consumption here, then you also can't create your external markets. So our approach is about the whole value chain, linked to that about skilling our people for us to be able to move in the right direction. A Kimberley process, I must say that we are going for the intercession in June. We are going to Kimberley. We are working with the provincial government. It's going to be a big event because we want to go to a tabernacle. It's not just going to Kimberley. It's also about celebrating the decade of the founding of the Kimberley, and the tabernacle, as you know, that has changed. But we will also be commemorating the tabernacle itself as a very important institution in our history. Sheikh, yes, we will differ, but we are in that place. We will always be there. But what is key for us is making sure that we act in a responsible way. New technologies are part of the interdepartmental team looking into that space. Mentorship from the department on historically disadvantaged. What we are looking at in terms of mentorship when it comes to historically disadvantaged, we're looking at the capacity. We're going to advertise with the mining space where we want young graduates, mining mechanical engineers, to come into the space to mentor them, creating the skills for the department, but also for the industry as a whole, including the issue of our inspectors. We don't have inspectors. They're still there because we can't hear what the industry is. These are some of the issues which we think, as part of capacity building, we need to look at that. The girl child, 20, we're piggybacking from the mining industry to sponsor the girl child. I know indeed that there is a complaint about the boys. At some point, one of the members, I don't know, here or in the main assembly, is raised this. We will have to find the balance. Also, if we have the boy child benefiting out of the girl child approach scheme. We want to grow it. We found a lot of companies being keen to contribute towards that, so we're looking at that in running the school, in creating the skills. Honorable Kamende, what we'll do, if we can get the name of the child and see how best can we assist the girl in making sure that she's able, especially if it's a girl, to achieve her objective, because it's very important in addressing the past. I think these are the issues which have been raised there, which indeed are some of the issues. Broadly, we are dealing with doing roadshows on a regular basis when it comes to investor confidence, but also articulating what we are doing and addressing as a country. And we must also indicate, I think at some point, we must come to the committee and show that there are challenges, but the mining industry is not going down. We're getting a lot of investors coming into South Africa. There's a lot of appetite for South Africa. There's a new, I don't know, there's a geological terms, but in Limpopo there's a discovery of huge, am I right, the Marinsky? The Platinum Reef in Limpopo. It's bringing $10 billion US investment to South Africa. It's new people, not your traditional people who are investing, but new investors in this space. So there's a lot of appetite. I think it's how we manage the processes. Because some look at the space wise, Marikane was there, but also they look at those spaces as part of opportunities for them to come into South Africa. So I must say, these are some of the issues to say. The mining industry, it is growing. It might not be in the public space. There might be perception, but there's a lot of growth. And the last point I must say is that we're also seeing an appetite in South Africa to invest in South Africa. To share with you, Lonmin now, it's over 50% South African owned compared to where it was even before Marikane. So there's also an appetite growing within the South African investor to invest in the South African space. I think, DG, you can say something before you leave.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Honorable Member. Yeah, there was the issue of vacancy rate. What is the situation now? It's relatively high, at around 12%. And I think the reason behind this is that we struggle to attract high skills, especially when you deal with mine health and safety inspectors. Very, very difficult to attract mining engineers, you know, mechanical engineers, to leave the mining industry and join the department. Hence, the minister basically came with a directive. So let's find a way of addressing this matter. And the chief inspector of mine is working on a plan to address this matter in terms of saying, let's grow our own people, let's develop our own people, and that will be addressed. In terms of the numbers, I think perhaps the first presentation was, you know, we really showed you the numbers, the triggers, but they are all in this program. I think they should have actually shown you the target. They have all shown you. In fact, the Auditor General has looked at the annual performance plan and basically said they are satisfied with it. They talked about 4 weeks ago. I think it's a technical issue.
Minister.
Sorry, did you ask this if you want to?
Chair. Thank you, Minister. On the issue of the big debt and how it responds to some of the challenges facing the mining industry, honourable members, you know that mid debt is a multi-stakeholder structure. It is led by our minister here, representing government. It also has the organized business in the form of the Kembang Mines, SAMDA, as well as organized labor in the form of National Union of Mine Workers, Solidarity Aid, and WASA. yes, Minister. And it is a structure that is alive to not only challenges but opportunities in the mining industry. It is quite agile to the environment so that it is able to respond almost instantly to be it opportunities or challenges. For instance, when the Platinum Task Team was established, it was established under the auspices of MIGDET to particularly develop mechanisms in dealing with the challenges that persist in the PGM sector. Honourable members, there is good progress being made. This task is not concluded yet. It is a subject of work in progress, but it demonstrates the responsiveness of the MIGDET as a structure of mining stakeholders, so that stakeholders can work together in finding the kinds of solutions that are relevant to the challenges, but can also nurture the opportunities that that are available within the mining industry itself. The second question was about how can our commodities be utilized to optimize value for our people. One of the key interventions that we are working on to respond particularly to this question is on beneficiation. We believe that beneficiation is a game-changing opportunity, not only for the mining industry, but for South Africa in its entirety. And that, of course, beneficiation you don't do overnight. We are mindful of the challenges. But as we always say, a typical South African finds reasons why things should not be done. We would like to invite South Africans to, of course, be objective in their analysis, find the constraints and challenges, but work together in finding the solutions, because the solutions are there. Let us not hasten to raise the challenges. Let's recognize the challenges, but work together to find the solutions. It is our conviction that the challenges that are generally outlined as an impediment for beneficiation are not insurmountable. And we believe in the calibre of South Africans to find appropriate solutions that will enable this country to beneficiate and industrialize within, of course, a reasonable time frame going forward. Minister, I think I've covered both of the questions, man. Thank you.
Chairperson, just two issues which the IDPs, I think it's an important question raised, linked to LEG and the mining SLPs. In the amendment of the Act, we are looking at that because we have found that there's a lot of mismatch you find that the municipalities do something else, mining companies do something else. So we say the LED must speak to the SLPs of the various companies in making sure that they maximize the output in the various areas. So I thought this is very important for us to say it's, we are addressing in amendments of the Act. And the other issue which has been raised, which we did not answer, the satellite offers, definitely we'll look into the matter, because indeed, if the issue of the satellite offers, we'll look into it and see what is it the interim we can do in ensuring that we are able to reach where our constituency is, the Department of Mineral Resources. We had in the past discussed with the officials the issue of the vastness of Northern Cape. So indeed, it's in our minds, but I think we need to act on that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Minister and DG. And the DDGs and CFOs, honourable members, we must be mindful of the time as the House will be sitting at 2. And you know, as Honourable Baneda always says, there's some people that's got some ailments, diabetes and dizziness and fizziness, so we want him to take the tablets before we go into the House. Honourable Sinclair? Okay, good. You're done? Good. Your Honesty, you were excellent. He's done. Honourable Ayrops?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Pardon me for going out. I don't know if my, if it's been replied to PWDs. What's the opportunity for them in the administration? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. The issue of people with disabilities. Generally, in the mining industry, if you look at it one way or the other, you will always find them being employed by mining companies. But how do you find them? It's because the majority of them tend to be, the majority of them get their disabilities within the company because it's either they were injured, some, you know, hearing due to the nature of the work. So most of mining companies do have employed such people, but it's opportunities which normally arises out of their employees as they get injured in various ways. So you do find that almost, except for the new mining companies, but the majority of the old mines, indeed, they do have people, especially in the, because what normally happens is that when somebody gets injured, they shift them from underground to be, to join the administrative section. Thanks, Chair.
Rangoni?
Chair, I have just two questions that relate to my constituency. First one, I've just seen the plan of the municipality much having in around that the national government will be running a program there on mining that improve the mining. So I asked the official to tell me what was the program all about. But it's about the mining, improving mines, but different find jobs in the mine. And the gold mine, because we know that most of the mines are causing problems, so I don't know which problems that are done by the department in Aaron Velko. And secondly, Chairperson, the issue of a term that I've been complaining about is the former Minister Sonjika complained to the Minister of Environment and Tourism, and then by Mr. Pascal Vieira wrote the letters. And I've informed the Minister, the Mine Health Safety Officer, about the stingham that in winter it's dry, there's a lot of dust from there, people can't open their houses, can't see their houses. And in summer it's very stinky. And as a result, people are suffering from summer. And to be now in municipalities, pumping raw sewage into the dam. So I don't know if the president's department might not be there, but what can the department, how will the department help, you know, that they rehabilitate that dam or they do away with it? Those are my two, please, Chair.
That's just before you answer. Honourable, you fine?
I'm fine.
Good. Honourable Dekhali, you fine? Good. Honourable Kamere, you fine? Okay, that's the last two.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll say we'll investigate the dam and see what is that needs to be done. If we've got to draw in other departments, especially Water Affairs, we'll draw them into that space so that we work together in finding a solution. And then the one on there is a broad there are plans in government to look at your depressed area, and Welkom is one of those areas. But also to share with you that part of the programs which the DG has gone to, it's not only Marikani in terms of your SLPs or your social or your poverty stricken areas around mining towns. It's Rustenburg, it's West Brand, you know, in terms of the old restaurant, which would include your livestock and all those areas, Randfontein, and then Welkom. So those are part of the areas which have been identified by government as priority areas, as depressed areas, but priority areas influenced by the mining environment. So that's the plan, the package that they were talking about and the meeting they are attending, is developing a plan in terms of what that means to happen and how do we rehabilitate those areas of creating jobs where it used to be your old mining towns. So if you look at them, it's all your former gold mining towns. That's why it's two, gold and West Rand, in terms of Klerksdorp and the others. Then the other one is Rustenburg in terms of the platinum. That is your old mining space, which has to be looked at. So there is a plan which government is working on. That's the meeting the DG and the DG are attending. Thanks, Chairperson.
Well, thank you. Minister, the last thing is that the Honourable Sinclair will bug us now until the day of the Kimberley process. So I just want to, before he bugs me, he just wants to make sure that it comes from your mouth, say the DG is not here, that the committee will get an invitation to the Honourable Sinclair. Happy with that?
With the short chair, definitely you are invited already, but we will also send a formal invitation. I can't go to Kimberley and leave Honourable Sinclair, otherwise I'll be troubled.
Thank you very much, Minister. He's smiling, so he's very happy. He's very happy. You know, it's quite strange that what I've noticed over the past years is that your fast-food cocktails or dinners that you normally give is part of the only one that he attends regularly. The others he skips and he goes now and then, and I was wondering why he attends just low ones regularly. But today I've heard that he said that you are a disciplined, committed cadre of the movement. So it comes from his mouth, which we are very proud of. Let me thank you, Minister, for the leadership, the role that you are playing in the department. It's a department that we can be proud of. It's a department, although the economists and the mining analysts and all that are saying all the, not all of them, but some of them are saying bad things about the department, but traveling abroad and engage with people abroad, you know, you get the sense of that people really appreciate what we are doing. You know, in one speech at the G20 summit, one of the countries says that mining has carried South Africa through in those apartheid dark years. And if given the chance, the new government given the chance, then mining South Africa is in actual fact the house that we can learn from in terms of mining, in terms of beneficiation, and in terms of creating jobs. And we're talking about the SME sector, which I think it was at a conference in Australia where you have highlighted how the mining industry can benefit, or the SME sector can benefit from the mining industry. And it's globally, we have been recognized as one of the key role players. And thanks to your leadership, thanks to, because mining did take a dip prior to 2009. I mean, if you can go and look at the statistics. And 2009, when you came in, that dip was still there. But you've taken it out, irrespective of everything that happened, you still stand tall. You know, I always say, it one rose that withstood the storm and withstood the test of time. And we are very happy with all your participants. You've been a member of the National Working Committee, the National Executive Committee. You deployed into a province and all that, and you still got the time to run a department efficiently
And the challenges as DMR, you and your capable staff, your chief of mines, your DDGs, your DG. So from our side, we want to say thank you very much. Thank you for making the time. And remember, you've got friends in this committee. Not friends, but comrades. And not just comrades, but family also in this committee. You and your staff, don't ever feel that you walk alone, although there's a saying with a bad football team in the world, you never walk alone. Honorable Nafi can attest to that, but I think they are fighters, so that's why they have to walk alone. But you've got friends, family, and comrades in this committee, so count on us. Most of the parting words from you. Mine seems to me is a support of that task.
Thanks very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. But thank you very much for the robust engagement by the committee. Also, we welcome the mutual respect we get from the committee and honesty. And I think that's what builds this relationship, Chairperson. And I want to say to the committee members, if there are issues, don't be afraid to raise them with you. You are here as members of parliament representing communities, and it's not about us, it's about the people out there. So what you raise, you don't take it as personal, but you take it as issues you come across and confront on a day-to-day basis. So we really welcome the engagement at this level. And I must also say to myself and the team from the department, I think we always find pleasure in interacting with the select committee. For being reasonable and understanding, when you're not there, they're able to understand that indeed there is the legitimacy in not being able to come to your meeting. So we appreciate that also. We understand that we are unable to present ourselves to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. And Minister, you can be assured that the committee won't call the department every week. Because at the end of the day, we're going to chastise them for spending too much on traveling and staying in Cape Town. And I don't think DMR has got so much money, because if they need to buy houses in Cape Town the way they are in Cape Town, they can might as well buy houses in Cape Town. Then Honorable Sinclair would love that money to go around to Kimberley for the State Diamond Trade to be there. So I think we will meet maybe once a month or once every fourth month. Or so on, so that we interact. I think our next meeting would be probably around about the 14th or the 21st of May. There is change in the program in terms of what you said about the briefing on the mining strategy, so that we can encapsulate everything on there. I don't know whether Orlando Pirates has won the league in South Africa, because they said Chiefs are in the relegation league. Is that true? Honestly, I don't know which team you support, but I believe Kaizer Chiefs are in the relegation league.